103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
On 103.2 Dublin City FM, it's The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Good afternoon. On today's programme, two wonderful interviews with Pat Fitzgerald of Fitzgerald Nurseries, and we'll also be talking with Paddy Madden and Trevor Sargent of School Earth Education, all coming up on today's Sod Show. Brought to you in association with those guys at greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. If you're in the supermarket, check them out. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. Coming up at the end of the programme, so stick around, some news and information about some Christmas fairs that are happening around and about. But to today's first interview, and Peter is talking with Pat Fitzgerald of Fitzgerald Nurseries.
103.2 Dublin City FM and Ireland's best podcast. You would not believe it if I told you, but Brian, maybe, would be able to tell you that pre the Sod Show days existed a, 10, somewhere around about, depending on how I was feeling, type podcast. One of the guests on it would have been James Powers of formerly Irish Times, now Sunday Times, garden correspondent, and the other who stuck his hand up in the air and said, yeah, I'll get involved in that, was Pat Fitzgerald. Pat, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Peter.
You're most famed, and it's been a long time since we've spoke to you, but for your, growing of plants?
Yes, we grow young plants and we sell them around the world, and our speciality is propagation and selling to growers. So we ship the young plants from the US to Australia to Japan and mainland Europe.
Are you a little bit, for those who don't know you, a little bit the renegade of the nursery trade in Ireland? Are you a little bit revolution, Mark Boland, T-Rex, electric guitar kind of stuff, are you?
You might say that, I wouldn't.
You've got a good attitude to life, though, and in context, you are quite young for what you have achieved from a grown perspective. Is that a fair comment?
No.
This is going from better to good. You should have heard him 3 years ago. He used to be great on the radio. I don't know what's happened. Maybe it's the point down in Kilkenny tastes a little bit different. The business is Fitzgerald's Nurseries. Do you want to give a little bit of a history to that?
Fitzgerald Nurseries, yeah, that's correct, Peter. We started in 1990, and we've gone through a few formats since then. We started propagating plants for the landscape industry, basically plants like Hypericum, Ceanothus, Lonicera piliata, Rubus tricolor for planting on car parks, embankments and that type of thing. And we began exporting those plants to the UK in about 96 or 97. Then as that sector changed quite dramatically, we got into a breeding program of our own to have our own novelties, and we started on one like Formium blackadder, then came along Ceanothus tuxedo, then our Carex range started getting prominence, so we ship all of the aforementioned around the world now at this stage. So in 2005 we took over a plant micropropagation laboratory, and we began producing much more difficult subjects and upped our breeding program. So since then we widened our range, extended our markets, and in recent years plants like Kennedy Irish primroses and a range we're calling Irish primrose have taken prominence in our production. And of course our Carex Evercolor goes from strength to strength. We export these little sedges around the world. So we keep moving with the trends and fashions and try and always have at least 25 or 30 items in development and several ranges in breeding as well as our production range.
Just to put in context and to backtrack, when I've asked you this question the last time you were on the show, but what percentage of all of the plants that you produce, second question, you can choose not to answer it if you want, but how many plants, not money-wise, but how many plants are produced, and also how many of them are exported?
We produce probably close to about 5 million plants in a year. I can't be exact, but it's somewhere between 4.5 and 5, but we ship a lot of these very, very small propagules to much further markets. So in a little box, we could have 3,000 or 4,000 plants. And that's where the big volume comes when we ship into the US and Australia, New Zealand and Japan. And these would be all niche varieties that it wouldn't be cost effective or relevant to set up production systems in those countries for, but people still want the plants. So we ship big amounts in very small sterile containers. So that makes up a big volume. So about 4.5 to 5, and 95% of our plants are shipped outside of Ireland.
That's kind of unusual in a sense, and the clearer the picture becomes, or the clearer you paint it, the more I kind of turn around and say, Kilkenny grower, Kilkenny grower, you know, it's a little bit almost out of your station, punching way above your weight. And it's a beautiful story, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when most people think of nurseries, what we picture is a guy with a secateurs taking a cutting, a hardwood cutting somewhere around about October, November, and popping it into the ground. And then 6 months later, I have a tree that I can plant into a pot, or maybe I've grown seeds or something along those lines. You're kind of gone into the laboratory sense of it, number one. And number two, in between all of the bad, downbeat, naysaying Ireland is not a great place, you've got a beautiful story where 95% of the produce is exported around the world.
Yeah, well, we do that too. We take cuttings in the autumn, we stick them as hardwoods, but we've found that the easier the thing is to do, the more competition there is. And also you have to remember quite a lot of plants where you need volume in them. It's not quite practical to try and propagate them through the methods you described. So, we've had to change our propagation systems. I mean, micropropagation is just what it says, micropropagation. So we propagate in a micro environment. We use all natural resources, even our growing media in the micropropagation facility, or for want of a better term, lab. That's a seaweed extract mixed with sugar, mixed with minor trace elements. So it's not really as mystical or as far-fetched as it sounds. So we use that as a method, but we also use normal propagation, we use seed propagation. So the foundation to all these exports really is our own breeding and our own exclusive varieties, which as breeders and on behalf of breeders who work with us, we protect around the world. And this ensures that we're able to have those markets more securely. And we had to change the business to that model, because to export plants, no more than any other thing that you make, somebody has to want it. It needs to be reasonably unique, and it needs to fit in with all the other nurseries around the world that do things rather than compete with them. So it's not such an exceptionally bright advance. It's just finding markets and filling them, and you're working with people the same as they might be in Tipperary, they might be in Australia, they might be in London, they can be anywhere. You're working with people still.
Is there a case in between all of this, Pat, where you know, the guy from Kilkenny who I know that you started with plants that were bought by your wife, that's correct, isn't it, that story?
Oh, you're talking about the Carex, yes. Before we were married, I got a present for my 26th birthday, I think it was, about 10 years ago, I think it was. For my 26th birthday, of a Carex, and I took a shine to that particular plant. Now we have 7 varieties of our own, so that was a nice little twist of fate for sure, yeah.
But when you hit these shows abroad and you've got, and I know, like, even from talking with the Dutch embassy, I mean, the way they grow, the power behind them, the size of it, it's kind of, you know, the little independent guy from Kilkenny, not, you know, knocking you in this, I'm kind of putting it in context, exporting 5 million plants, and you know there are Dutch nurseries around the world who will export, you know, maybe 100, 200 times that. What's it like going in and being that Irish guy doing that abroad and doing it extremely well?
God, I hadn't thought about all that. If I had to think about that first, I probably wouldn't have gone. Now I'm afraid, Mammy. And no, I mean, I've been travelling a bit to trade shows, etc., so I had time to size it up since the late 90s. No, I mean, I have what they don't have, and I try and sell it. I mean, from the point of view of being Irish or being English, yeah, you have a very good point in so much as, I suppose, the focus in Ireland and the infrastructure and the history and all of the above are certainly in favour of the Dutch. But if we only focused in Ireland on what we have and what the world might want from us, I think there's a place for us. And that's what we do. I mean, think about what we're doing. We're shipping sedges. Well, where would you think of in the world if you were looking at sedge grass or any other kind of grass? We're fairly well known for grass. It grows pretty well here, so that's what we do. We have our own unique collection. They're protected by international plant breeders' rights under our name, and we export them. Primroses, Irish primroses, we export them, and we do a lot of New Zealand plants. So we're fighting to our strengths, and we're not trying to do the plants that the Dutch do. We're not trying to do the plants that the English do. We're carving out our own niche, and it doesn't matter whether you're making plastic flowers or whether you're making iPods or pharmaceuticals or whatever. If you're selling a unique product and you've studied it enough that it's a worthy product and it's unique in the world, then the rest of it is hard grit, determination and work to make sure people know you have it and make sure you test it and make sure it works in those environments that you intend to sell it into. And that's what people forget. We have to be sure these plants are fit for purpose, i.e. the gardens in the countries that we sell them into. So that sometimes takes 3 to 5 years before you really can be sure and before your customers can be sure. So all that work, yeah, all that has to be done. And in some countries, they have more support structures, in particular Holland and Germany, and Israel. There appears to be more support structures. In Ireland, the support structures are geared, I suppose, towards the beef and dairy sector. Hopefully, in time, some of that focus and great work that Borbia does can trickle down a little bit to the likes of us, where you have value-added niches available in everything from making shoes to making plants.
If people want to find out more, Pat, and there is a lot more to the story, or they want to take a look at the plants and see what is being exported abroad, what it is that you do that other people outside of this country, very far away in some cases, find so amazing and attractive and are willing to put their hand in their pocket to buy and to sell again. You have a website?
We have a couple of websites, in actual fact. One of them is myplant.ie. That's a website where we do more of our architectural and what you might think as modern small balcony and patio garden plants, as well as suit and small gardens. So that's myplant.ie. Then our other plants, we have a good portal in irishprimrose.com, and that shows all the new unique varieties from old Irish primrose varieties that we brought onto the market in the last year or two. And then we have, of course, the business website, which is fitzgeraldnurseries.com.
You're also at Pat Fitzgerald on Twitter, and if you want to go heckle him, you can do so in that portal there. Curiosity killed the cat. Sometimes I phone you and you kind of go, hello, who's this? Do you not have my number saved in your phone, or is it that you just don't like me at all?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of people's numbers not saved on the phone. I keep losing them and I forget to add a name, but this time I'm going to add yours.
Just to put in context, I know Pat since I was about 17, so 20 years later, folks.
He's doing it right now,
folks. In the meantime, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, Brian It is. Back to you in the studio. Pat, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And thanks to Pat Fitzgerald of Fitzgerald Nurseries. 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is the Sod Show, brought to you with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Controversy, as only Sod Show can do controversy. There is no Song of the Week this week due to time constraints. We will have a Song of the Week next week, we hope. We're now going to our second interview, and Peter is talking with Paddy Madden and Trevor Sargent of School Earth Education.
Paddy Madden, lecturer in SCSE in Marino Institute of Education, Griffith Avenue, Dublin.
Trevor Sargent, patron of SEED, School Earth Education here in Bloom.
Paddy, explain this to me. Like, I'm a two-year-old, you've got a SEED t-shirt on, it says School Earth Education. Do you want to break this down for me? Explain to me what it is, what it's about, how it all started?
It's all about growing in schools, starting school gardens all over Ireland. Our ambition is to have school garden in every school in Ireland and every child in every school participating in gardening activities right through the school year from the time they come in as infants up to sixth class.
Some weeks ago on the show, I spoke to some children out at the Balbriggan allotments, and we asked them the following questions. Did they know who Alan Titchmarsh was? Did they know who Monty Don was? And behind the scenes, somewhere in there, although there's a little bit of Peter's sense of humour, the big thing was that Monty and Alan, no disrespect to them at all, had both said through the media that we really should be encouraging more children to get into gardening. Is there an element of that? That's what they are saying, and that's exactly what you are doing, or is there a little bit of somewhere it's kind of caught up between what they're saying and what you're actually doing?
Well, I'm not aware really of what Monty Don and Alan Titchmarsh were saying, but what we're saying is that it's essential that children get growing from an early age, because if you start growing and loving plants from a young age, you'll love it for the rest of your life. You'll never lose that love, that interest, and it's healthy, it's good for them, it adds on to their creativity, their sense of the seasons, the world around them, respect for nature and conservation, sustainability, biodiversity. They just learn so much from being outside, cooperative learning especially, great bonding between teachers and children when they're working together outside in a school. So in Ireland, we're just hoping that sometime the Department of Education will get on board, you know, and when they're creating new schools, that they'll also create a garden with the school instead of afterwards, as happening at the moment.
Trevor, you've been part of the political system. You used to be a school teacher. In the nicest way of asking, how difficult a job is it, or will it be, to get a garden into every school? I know it's ideal, and I know it's something that everybody would want, but how difficult is it to actually get it to happen? Is it a big ball of red tape that you need to swashbuckle your way through nearly, or is it that, you know, look, it's going to be a tough uphill battle, but we'll get there?
There are many schools that have school gardens now, which is great to see, and they act as a catalyst and hopefully an example for schools that haven't quite got there. But in the meantime, and this goes back to my time in the Department of Agriculture, we got the ball rolling by putting, first of all, growing of potatoes into every primary school. That would take it up, and we gave them an incentive. It was a growing challenge, and there were prizes and good incentives for children to get on board. Made it as easy as possible. Sent them out growing bags, not unlike the growing bags you have beside you here. And in that, we sent them seeds and compost. So even schools that just had a tarmac yard could start off growing, and then it would. Some of those have started to dig up the tarmac yard. But as Paddy was saying, it would be a lot easier if there was already an expectation, because there would be a bit of ground set aside, and that's what was used for the school garden. But schools have, in spite of that, grasped the nettle and have started school gardens. So it's a question of the other schools catching up, because it's already pretty well established in some schools, and we know that from the teachers that have been coming through here in Bloom, and they're talking about their school gardens as they are, not about starting school gardens. So different schools are at different stages, but we want every school to be on board, because it's such an essential part. And well, Paddy, myself, as from a teaching background,
would know that the, just even in terms of behaviour, the behaviour of children is so much more happy in themselves when they have a sense of satisfaction that comes with getting the hands in the soil and seeing things grow. It also teaches great patience, all sorts of other beneficial mental health benefits that really don't get mentioned by the gardening books because they're very focused on technique, of course. But in from an education point of view, we're looking at the whole child and the education of the whole child.
Paddy, what's your own background before we get back into the seed thing? I mean, are you a grower? Are you a teacher grower? Did you wake up when you were 7 years of age and have a eureka moment and decided you liked trees, or where did it all start?
It started in primary school down in Clare, in a little tree teacher school in Whitegate, County Clare, with a teacher called Mr. Harden, who encouraged us to bring in leaves and plants and things from the environment every day. So he was the trigger, really. And then my mother was a gardener, my father was a farmer with an interest in wildlife around him. But certainly it was that school and the teacher that got me involved at the beginning.
There's a bit in between all of this where I probably had a similar mentor, is the wrong word, but somebody in my life who taught me to use my head and to understand and to touch, sense, feel and smell. And I think when I'm talking, and I have been talking with the Greensacks lads and some of the schools about their own composting bit, but it makes me, I think of being the child sitting in the class with somebody speaking to me and I never understood what on earth they were talking about, though I'm sure they were being paid to read what was said in the script. And at the same token, I think when I'm doing my own thing, I think I know what it's like to be that kid and to be totally mesmerised by something that maybe I wouldn't expect children. Does that kind of make sense to you? I suppose my question is, is it important, really, really, really important, that with somebody like yourself and Trevor in particular, that it comes from the heart rather than from a textbook?
Well, it's certainly hands-on. Any kind of hands-on learning will go to the heart, and then it'll come from the heart from then on. Because if they won't forget the learning once they do it themselves, and I think that's the most important thing, that it's embedded for life in them. And they use the word now, internalized. You know, it becomes internalized if you have sort of constant exposure to gardening from infants up to sixth class. It just becomes part of them, and they are the future carers of the earth. They're going to tread lightly on the earth, I think, if they're introduced to it from an early age. But certainly there has to be a cohesive plan here. Teachers have to be trained on it. The colleges of education, all of them have to get on board and give opportunities for the teachers going out to be trained in school gardening. It's too late afterwards. So it has to be done in teacher training, and should be actually nearly compulsory, I think, at this stage. And I hear that it's coming in as a subject in England very soon. If it's coming in there, well, we're going to follow, because we always follow what they do, and that's going to be the way it here. Wouldn't it be lovely if we started it here and introduced it as a subject for a change?
A teacher in whatever part of the country will make contact with the centre that's affiliated to Seed, wherever they are. If they're in Clare, Irish Seed Savers in Scariff, and Irish Seed Savers have a website in the East Coast or the North East, it'll be Sonarte, sonairte.ie, and in Paddy through Marino would obviously be able to put anybody in touch with the centre nearest to them or himself. So, I mean, those centres around the country have their own individual websites. We also work closely with GIY Ireland, GIY Ireland.ie, and they also would have information about the centres too. And I hope that teachers would. And it's worth bearing in mind, as Paddy was talking about the curriculum and how things could be improved, but for any of us interested in history, Irish education during the time of the model schools, which was pre the national school system, and I taught in a model school in West Cork and Dunmanway, and in that school it was a place where you did an apprenticeship for teaching, and part of that apprenticeship was you grew your own food. There was land with the school, and the teachers, for survival as much as for educational reasons, were pretty adept at cultivating as well. So I'd like to think that we could look back at and learn from that tradition of the model schools, so that teachers could be trained up in teaching, which they naturally enough would then be able to pass on better. But I talk and work with kids through Sonata and you know, Sunday school and different other ways that I'd be teaching kids, and even the technique of using a trowel or a hand fork, they might know it from I'm in Balbriggan now on the coast, they might know it from making sandcastles, but actually getting into the soil rather than skimming the soil, they're just basic skills that really you can't teach from a book, and you can't really learn other than by doing it and finding out how to do it better. And I just hoped parents, and particularly parents, would get onto their local schools as well and offer help, because I think that's often what is a block for teachers. They feel, listen, I'm only here during the day. I'm not here maybe during July and August. If I started something, it's going to be a millstone. It's not necessarily going to be anything other than a bonus to everybody, because it gets good relationship with the parents involved. The kids are better off for it, and the school then also gets a good bit of a dividend from it by having an extra string in its bow. And hopefully you can link in as well with the Tidy Towns if a school is involved, because the Tidy Towns competition now has a new element to it called Notice Nature. So any kind of school garden interaction with nature through school gardens, and particularly when children are involved, is a winner for a town. So it's more than the school. It really is for the whole community, but essentially it's for the next generation, and that's why we're focused on schools.
Our thanks to Paddy and Trevor from School Earth Education, and they are online on www.schoolearthed.ie. Time to tell you about some things that are coming up this side of Christmas. There's lots of Christmas fairs and things to do. First, a gift that you might want to consider buying, and that is a gift of seeds. In support of the Irish Seed Savers Association, check them out at www.irishseedsavers.ie, and you can also get those seeds from the irishkitchengarden.com, and you can purchase them and then gift them to somebody for Christmas. Christmas fair is coming up, and we'll just take the ones that are happening around this weekend. And the happening Christmas fair at River Fair, West Clare Gallery, Ennis Diamond, is November 30th. Check that one out. We're in the Clare area. And thanks for our news feed from Clare for sending in the dates. If you've got anything for us, at Sodshow on Twitter, The Sodshow on Facebook, and info@sodshow.com on the emails. We've also got a Christmas fair coming up Sunday, 1st of December, the Sunday Food and Craft Market, 12 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Admission is free. Where is it? It's at Sonata, Laytown. And you can check them out on the internet at sonarta.ie. That's, as Trevor would say, Sonarta, Sonairte. With thanks to greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, our sponsors, thank you very much. And with thanks to our producer, Peter Donegan, and our roving reporter, Peter Donegan, I'm Brian Green, back with you next Friday, 3 p.m. Take care. Bye-bye.